the probably the best part of the whole, I mean, because including the adverts, trailers, and the ridiculous number of sort of idents that Odeon put on before a film, the best part, the entire sort of 3.5 hour extravaganza, was the 2 minute Lego Batman trailer at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm with that.
That was funny, and I'm really, really excited for Lego Batman coming out next year. And I couldn't quite help the sinking feeling that, like, that's the best Batman thing I'm going to see today, isn't it? And I was right.
Honestly, I think the actual Lego Batman movie might be a bit of a, we've whipped this joke too hard. But over the course of a 2 minute trailer, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, my concern about the Lego Batman movie is that the Lego Batman jokes were funny in the Lego movie. Dragging that one sort of joke or that one funny character out to 2.5 hours could wear a little thin.
It could. For 2 minute trailers, it works brilliantly.
I assume there's more to it than just, I mean, it'll be a Lego Batman movie, but I assume there'll be other jokes in it other than just jokes about Batman.
Well, you know, the film doesn't actually come out till 2017. They've only rolled this out clearly for the old corporate brand synchronicity magic, so it's not as if we have to worry about that yet.
Yeah, it was well-timed, I must say, releasing your Lego Batman trailer on the same day that Batman vs Superman was released.
Well, obviously, but yeah, I don't know, maybe someone in the Warner Brothers machine is now thinking, did we overshadow the main feature?
I don't think they care, because at this point they've got their money.
We're recording this on, for the record, Saturday the 26th of March at a sort of lunchtime type slot in the UK, so we haven't really got extensive box office details or any information on if there's going to be any, you know, reaction to this or changes of plan or if anything's going to, you know, happen. Or if DC are just going to go, well, that made an okay amount of money. The wheels have already been set in motion. Let's just continue as we were going to. So, yeah, we can't really talk extensively about the fallout of it, but it is going to be interesting to see if the, at this point, 30% Rotten Tomatoes score actually does affect anything they do, or if they do decide, oh, maybe we'll get someone else other than Zack Snyder to direct our two-part Justice League epic, for example.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, I can imagine this will make money. People will pay to see it because people love Batman and it's a big event film.
It'll definitely make money. I don't know if it'll make the sort of sustained people re-watching it money, but like the popular event films like Star Wars and Avengers make.
Yeah.
But I think first weekend, sure, it's going to be a reasonably good first weekend. It's not going to properly flop, I don't think.
Bad popular films are not a recent occurrence. I mean, and anyone who's trying to blame superhero films for the fact that there are quite a lot of bad popular films around is woefully ignorant of cinematic history. I mean, you go back to the 90s and the 80s and the you know, the Vogue then was those muscle men action movies. I mean, most stuff that Arnold Schwarzenegger's released has been quite bad. Most things that Bruce Willis released have been quite bad. You know, a lot of things that Kevin Costner released were quite bad. So popular bad films isn't a new occurrence. The only thing is that, like, those movies, you know, I mentioned before, a lot of the bad Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you know, they made money because people went to see them. They liked Arnie. They got entertained for a bit and it made money. The problem is these films have become so expensive and so vast now that the film is not enough for the film to make money just on box office. It has to kind of tie into a whole range of, like, other products and you know, support TV shows and spin-offs and...
It's not a tie-in, it's the goodwill. It's, you know, in order for them to work in the way they want, which is as the cornerstone of these franchises, you can't just stop with, we've got their money. The idea is you have to send people out there thinking, not only have I given them my money, I now want to go and see the sequels or watch the TV shows. It is arguably more problematic if people coming out thinking that was awful, I wish I was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not enough just to sell people, like, it's not enough to sell people cinema tickets and some popcorn for a bit extra, and then maybe, you know, some people will buy a VHS or a DVD in the future. It's almost like these films are trying to convert people to a religion. It's like, this is kind of proselytizing for DC, that I want to come out to this film and think DC needs to be a big part of my life. I'm going to buy comics, I'm going to buy video games, I'm going to buy, you know, DVDs of TV shows. It's like kind of wants you to kind of lure you into this whole DC universe that's just for the purpose of making money by selling you a huge range of products. I mean, even airlines, they have that, you know, there's a kind of a big team up between Turkish Airlines and Warner Brothers. There was a...
Yeah, the Fly to Gotham, Fly to Metropolis ads.
Yeah, which actually aren't bad ads, but, like, it's kind of like this, it's so... They have to extract as much money as possible. And there was a lot of product placements for Turkish Airlines in that film as well.
It's a cute bit, but I didn't quite get how it was meant to make me want to see the film. But then again, I'd already seen the film, so...
Yeah,
I mean, this whole DC Marvel faction warfare thing obviously isn't new to me as a comic fan of 20 years and counting, but it is weird seeing it actually being spread across the culture, not even in a, like, metaphorical way or via something else way, but actually just literally this is now happening in actual forms in films.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a quote from some nameless DC executive who basically said that they felt that what differentiated their characters from Marvel's is that their characters are more relatable than human.
Not in this film.
I feel like if you know even a bit about comics history, then you know that's bullshit anyway. already certainly in the dawn of all this, you know, the DC characters were just these sort of rollicking pulp adventures, and then Marvel came along, and what differentiated them from DC was that their characters had, you know, relatable problems and were angsting and stuff, and Spider-Man had to be on time for school or whatever.
Yeah, like Spider-Man is a real person, you know, he's not a billionaire, he's not, you know, he's not an alien god, he's, you know, he's just a regular guy with regular problems. He's more relatable than, you know, Bruce Wayne or Clark Kent. And also, if you're going to really play up the, you know, the fact that, like, these characters are kind of icons of popular culture, they're these kind of, they're, you know, more than just people, then, you know, that doesn't make your characters particularly relatable either. They do that quite well. I mean, there's an interesting bit when there's, like, this enormous, like, statue of Superman by the memorial to the people who died in the big action scene at the end of Man of Steel. And, you know, it's not very subtle, but I think it's quite well done. There's basically saying Superman is larger than life. There's a giant statue of him. You know, he's larger than life. He's, you know, he's powerful.
Yeah, but I mean, this was the trend in this, when Marvel first started coming up with this relatable heroes thing, and that sort of became a broader trend. DC, I think, started playing it up more with their characters. They started creating characters who were more like that. They started building up the Superman-Clark Kent dichotomy to make it a bit more Peter Parker and make him, you know, yeah, a relatable figure, despite the fact he's this alien borderline god. So I'm not saying Marvel is better or that Marvel characters are relatable, whereas DC characters aren't. It's just, you sometimes worry that they don't really have any sense of what their own material is, and they're just saying shit to validate whatever they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, which is, that's not a particularly good approach.